This is RSBNB Update, episode 477, recorded Friday, August 8th, 2014. Opaya and IOPS. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSBNB Update. This week, sitting in with us is Alex43 from RSBNB Informer.
What's up, guys?
Been a while since we've had you on. I think last time we heard from you was after the RuneFest trip.
Yep. Make it like a four-month wait, I guess.
Yeah,
or
well...
more than that. It's like half a year, like twice a year I'm on the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's an open invitation to any staff members, so if any staff members are listening to this and decide they want to lend their voice to RSBNB Update, they are entirely welcome to do so.
Except for those who think they can do better than Shane, to which case, get lost.
Oh, I knew we'd be talking about some sort of these comments like that, and, you know, that's why we have you on the show. We like these little things that come out of your mouth like that. All right.
I apologize in advance if I offend anybody.
No, we're good. So Clan Month on RS, that is what was kicked off this week, starting this week, running until September 1st when the Clan Cup begins. So this month, mainly just focusing on improving some things regarding the Clan experience, mainly around the Citadel and Avatar.
Basically, you just get more experience whenever you train at the hotspots, and I think you gather resources a little bit faster, too.
Yeah,
So basically, it makes it easy.
We're looking at an XP buff for the Avatar to 10 and 5%, which used to be 5 and 3, respectively. So that's a nice little jump right there. Avatar damage protection increased. Avatar overtime heal rate increased. Quartermaster bonus XP increased to 140%. Fealty XP from Clan Cloak increased to 140% as well. So a whole
so
bunch
there is
of
no,
stuff.
Wait, so there is no boost to gathering speed at all. It's all experience, isn't it?
Yes, it is experience-based at
right.
the Citadel. And,
right.
you know,
fair enough.
I mean, mining, woodcutting, smithing, and whatever else you can do at the Citadel, you might as well take advantage of that because you're helping out a clan and you're getting a nice little XP boost.
Indeed, you are.
So, with that, they also made some changes to the clan camp, just reorganizing it, making it easier to use, which is a nice addition, I'll say, because a little bit of a backstory here for those of you guys who were not around in 2011 when the clan camp came out, but when you would try and set up a clan back in the olden days and you wanted to have a citadel, rather than just having people enter into the citadel like how you have to do now, right now, the requirement to get a citadel going is to have 5 people enter it within the span of a week. Previously, you used to have people stand on the 5 little marked hotspots there. And on the first day and the first week when clans were around, this was very hard to do because everyone was trying to use the exact same hotspots.
Yep. You had to coordinate with everybody.
Yeah, so there's just
you go on the northeast one, you go on the northwest one, and so on.
So there's a bit of history for the way clan camp used to work, and I mean, after 3 years and, you know, learning how these interact with the game, it's about time to see some sort of quality of life adjustments on this, because when you look back at clans in RS, clans have always existed in RS from way back when to the old RS classic days, and, you know, there was some doubt among people's mind whether or not clans would actually have their day and get the support that they desire. And when they did, it was a huge celebration because, you know, it was like an update that people wanted for so long, but you never knew if it was coming. So just 3 years in from that, it's nice to see some improvements with this. Berthorpe also has a clan recruitment area. And your last joined guest clan chat will be remembered, and you'll automatically join in when you log in.
Excellent. That's been bugging me for the longest time now, because I keep on logging in, I keep on forgetting to join the clan chat.
Oh, really? Okay. And there's also
So that's why it
now a
doesn't look like a mono
link
match.
to the clan homepage on the Vexilim interface.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a link to the clan homepage, you mean like if you put in rsbnb.com, can you actually click that link and it'll take you to that website?
I didn't test this part of this update yet, but if they did that, I think that would provide some major security issues. So I'm hoping that this is, in a way, just a link to the same old quick find code that you could have to the recruitment topic.
Oh,
Because,
right, yes, because clans have their own homepage on the RuneScape website. That makes sense.
yes.
All right.
And I mean, in the past, Jagex has been kind of leery of offering the ability to post out URLs and whatnot like that. So if this
Yeah, it's
did,
still one of the rules.
yeah, if this did appear on the Vex and you were able to, put this out, then I think that might be some kind of security issues. So that's why I'm assuming that is not the case for what is happening here.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, and I mean that's really all we have for Clan Month here. It's just mainly a boost towards your clan avatar and your clan experience as you go. All of course gearing up towards the Clan Cup on September 1st. Which we know what will contain: skilling, combat, hybrid events, that sort of thing.
There's a bunch of crazy people duking it out for a virtual cup.
Yeah, and previously, before the clan system was in game, it was a wonder that we were able to actually pull this off without an actual system in game to, organize behind and everything. So it's really nice to see this taking off once again.
There was also a lot of trust back then because the only way people were able to coordinate with each other was to create forums on their own websites. Then you'd have to trust that you're going to the right website. And of course, meaning that you cannot advertise in games. So it's almost like word of mouth outside of RuneScape in order to actually join these websites. So it was very difficult for clans to have their own websites back then.
Indeed. And I'll also recommend that anybody who is interested in hearing about maybe a more in-depth look onto what exactly is going on behind the scenes pertaining to this update, you can listen to the Clan Cast, as they called this one. It's Jagex's podcast regarding clans.
Clancast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, of course, they always throw the
That's
name in like
catchy.
that, but
That's catchy. That's good.
okay, now also this week saw the release of the 1000th song into RS.
Sweet.
Do you remember when the 500th song came in?
Oh, that was a long time ago. They had a new emote for that as well, and then gradually, as more songs came in, it became just so much easier to get that.
Yep. And there is another emote for 1000, so for everybody who has unlocked what is in game currently, you can claim that. And the very, very interesting thing about this song itself is it's actually the voice work of it is done by the JMods themselves. So I'll just give us a bit of a playthrough on that right now. So just let me pull this up. It's on YouTube. Anybody who wants can listen to it.
It's a very nice song.
So there you go. And one thing I think is very interesting about the 1000th song, just pertaining to when it comes out, as we'll talk about in a little bit, next week is the release of the Elf Quest. And the 1000th song coming out right before the Elf Quest, I think, is rather poetic in that the Elf Quest started in 2002, about a year after RuneScape initially started up. And over that time, over all those years, we have accumulated 1,000 songs. And I think that if you listen to this one, it really is a culmination of everything, you know, that someone in RuneScape would ultimately take part in. So.
Mm-hmm. No comment. It's a beautiful song. If you guys want to listen to it, then it's available right as you log in. Just find it in your music playlist and set it to loop and have fun.
Yep. The singers are Mods, Abby, Lord, Bond, Ian, Moon, Gemini, Linda, John, Alan Lal, and Timothy O'Neill.
You got a whole choral front over there.
Yeah, that's true. That is indeed true. Music and words were done by Mods, Abby, Lord, Bond, and Ian. So a true Jagex production right there.
Nice. There you go. They're not just programmers or pretty faces behind moderator accounts. They actually have some talent in the voice work.
Yeah. You know, I think this is definitely one song I'd like to have a high-quality MP3 of or something like that. I'm not sure what quality I'd get on SoundCloud, but I might have to have a look at that.
I'm just waiting for them to release the soundtrack on CD like they did with the original tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, they're good, but I mean, there's only like 10 or so of them on the CD, and so we got to get more of that.
Yeah, and I mean, you got to think, though, putting these on CD, especially the original non-composed ones like this, is it worth putting something that was composed on a computer on a CD? I don't know, without real instruments. That's definitely something to think of, but... Irregardless,
always remaster him.
Yeah, you could, and you know, I think that is something they will ultimately try and do one day. But 1,000 songs is quite a bit to do. It really is.
Yeah, Well, it doesn't have to be all the songs, just the good ones.
Yeah. All right. This makes me feel old with regards to RuneScape having been around through the vast majority of all these songs being released.
Yeah, still going strong though.
Indeed. All right. Let us move on to the tweaks and fixes for this week from the patch notes. I have a couple, and I believe you have a couple. First up,
Yippers.
NPCs attacking players will no longer be able to make them be unattacked in single-way PvP. So if you're being attacked by a green dragon, you previously wouldn't have been able to be PvP'd there. That has now been rectified. Also this week, they've given a small buff to Araxes drop table, which is something people have requested because even with the current way Araxor worked, it was often very hard to make a profit off of a kill run. Just out of curiosity.
Especially since you can only do so many a day.
Yes, before they get too hard. Have you given it an attempt yet?
I have not. I barely fight the queen like dragon, so okay. I don't do very many bosses. I haven't even tried the new mole yet.
Oh, yeah, the new mole is amusing. It's a good way of learning boss mechanics. So,
yeah.
Also,
I'll give it a try sometime.
The farmer's cuffs are now able to pick Nightshade and Belladonna without you taking damage.
Couldn't you not take damage when you picked them originally?
Well, you needed to have some sort of a glove, and the farmer's cuffs didn't give you that benefit of protecting your hands.
Oh, I see. Like van braces.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I believe you have some now that you wanted to highlight?
Yep, a couple of them that caught my eye. One of them, all aura objects have had the name aura actually added to the name, so they're easier to search for when they're in your bank. I cannot speak today. So basically, if you want to see how many auras you have in your bank, you just type in aura and you'll see them all instead of having to type in like 1, 2, 3, or 4 depending on which kind you have.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, that's definitely one thing. I think you know that Jagex could maybe do in the future, kind of the way they did with Bonds, is maybe give you a separate aura pouch or whatever that you know just kind of sits with your character wherever you are, so you don't necessarily need to go to the bank to swap out an aura, because People who've been around for a long time have so many auras, and these are taking up valuable bank slots that really could be taken up for other things, I think. So I just like to see a way of, you know, having the auras grouped in a central location. Granted, it could just be a certain area of the bank for that, but I don't like using my bank space for auras. I don't know why.
You know what? I'll bet you sometime in the future, just like how we have a pouch for bonds, we're going to have a pouch for auras. We could just select one and then just toggle it while it's in their inventory. But of course, we can only do one at a time.
Yeah, and I mean, when you start looking at things like that, the reason I'm leery of suggesting that is because you know as well as I do that when you're creating a game or any sort of piece of software or whatever, you do end up adding in features over time, and these features, you know, might seem like a good idea to be adding because they're nice little simple things that improve the quality of life for one reason or another. But over time, you're just adding so many things that are tacked on that the system itself loses its elegance. And, you know, that's one of my biggest complaints about the Ninja Team, is that they're making so many little tweaks and fixes that are adding onto the game that is really diminishing the cleanliness of it. Two main things being that I think are extra and maybe not needed are the penguin points. When you buy a penguin, it lists your points and how many you've seen. What if I don't want to see how many I've seen? Can I turn that off because I don't like seeing all that clutter? And the second one is always seeing the grand exchange price of something when you examine an item. I'd like to be able to turn that off.
That's kind of annoying.
Yeah. And the thing is, these came from the Ninja Team, and Ninja Team fixes are generally perceived small and don't require a huge amount of community backing to make their way into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm just leery of mentioning changes like that.
And anyway, to help prove our point, the second thing that stood out for me, the text when you receive a strange rock has been colored to make it more noticeable.
Yeah.
Kind of a nice change. I mean, you can tell when you get a strange rock or not, but you know, usually when I'm getting strange rocks, I always have my inventory open anyways because I'm kind of expecting that. So really, this is kind of a necessary update, and if anything, it'd become a little bit distracting.
Yeah, exactly. And like, if there's a way to filter this off, then that's all the better. I assume you can filter this text off by saying, just setting your game state to filtered, right?
Yep.
Or would these strange rocks ones already get through that? I don't know.
I don't think they would get through that because it is sort of like an unimportant message.
Yeah, okay.
I hope it is anyways. I mean, strange rocks, I mean, they are kind of semi-important, but at the same time,
they're not as important as a loot beam.
Yep.
All right, well, there's your tweaks and fixes.
And I mean, the rock appears in your inventory anyways, usually. So.
Yeah. And, you know, other color changes, like, okay, you finish a Slayer task, that becomes green instead of red. That makes sense, because finishing a task is generally a good thing, right?
It is, indeed. The only problem is that the green kind of clashes with the background if you have it bright enough.
Yeah,
so it's difficult to read the text in that case.
I mean, we're heading to a point where we're going to need more ability to filter out text in-game, whether it be
and more colors
from the filter option in the chat or filtering out examine options or just other things in-game. It just feels like we're having too much added here by the Ninja Team sometimes.
You know what they're probably going to next add is bold and italic fonts when semi-important stuff happens or when clan-related stuff happens. Like in bold, that means that it's super important, or in italic means that your clan did something.
You know, they could potentially do that now with the font being anti-aliased compared to the old one. So
possibly so.
All right.
And then they'll do strike through whenever something happens to regards the Ninja Team.
Yes. Okay, next up is the Community Chronicle for this week. I'll just start off by saying that we were mentioned, of course, our Action Bar contest, which we'll talk about more later. But, of course, thank you to Jagex for fulfilling our request to have a small piece of this Community Chronicle.
No, I think it was more of an advertisement to your Action Bar app. It's supposed your equipment and bar builder as opposed to the actual contest itself.
Yeah, well, we're trying to do both at the same time, right? But
the
main thing's
the
contest. And,
oh yeah,
I mean, while we're on this, I might as well say that right up until now, I have been able to ensure that we have pretty much all the weapons up to level 90 in there, except for the new Araxor weapons. There's a couple of magic robes that are less than 70 that we're still missing. We might have bit off on the Armadale range sets, but pretty much everything is up to date with the current combat system.
Nice. And the stuff that is not up to date, guess what? We know you can stop bugging us.
Yeah, and ultimately, when it comes down to it, if there's something that you need to make an action bar, or you want to, help out, all you have to do is send me a private message on the forums with what's missing and the stats if you have it, and I'll get that in as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Please keep language to a minimum.
Yes. Also, this week, some artwork featuring Araxor. What do you think of these, being you're the artistic one?
They are awesome. They are actually quite beautiful. They picked some really good ones.
Would you print any of them out and frame them?
The second one, I think I would. Third one, probably. Fourth one is a little bright.
There's a fourth
one? I mean,
one?
I don't know if it would make good... The first one.
Yeah.
It's a little bit bright. I'm not sure if it's good for poster quality. Like, it's a little bit too... Well, again, I'm saying it's just a little bit too bright. The second one, though, is really good poster quality. And the third one, probably.
Yeah, you can almost put the second one on a canvas or something like that.
Yeah, totally. I hope that guy did. Because it's a really good picture. Or maybe he's just drawing them nonstop, just doing it once a day or so. And then if he did try to put it on his wall, he'd have an entire wallpaper filled with his pictures, which he should.
Didn't you
Great idea.
Once have something in one of these players gallery things?
I did once. I had made a 3D picture of, this is sort of when Pest Control came out a long time ago. What I did was I made a 3D rendering of a whole bunch of spinners, which were basically the bane of Pest Control. Whenever one spinner spawns, that's what became the focus, because they could heal portals completely on their own. And so I drew a whole trainload of spinners all surrounding a portal, and then one poor adventurer alone is asking, "Oh, Ceridoman, why do you hate me so much?" Because otherwise, there was no way to survive, because nobody ever defended the Void Knight. They would always die, so it was either a blitz to the portal to destroy it, or you failed.
All right.
So that was a joke.
Yes, I gathered.
But they had long since removed that. They kind of trimmed down the player's gallery.
Yeah, it's all in the community roundup now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Oh, well. I still have my leather and the god leathers.
Mm.
Actually, 22, you take a look at it. That was a beautiful shot of a cannon below my message.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah, that was cool.
All right, there's also some videos this week. 10 insane player achievements, combat guide of levels 1 to 99, updated for, of course, the current regime of RS, and an in-real-life clan recruitment video done by Realscapers.
Really?
Yes.
The guy's got, like, a real-life Vexillium.
Yeah, he does, and if you watch it, you can actually see.
Yeah, I should probably watch it one day later.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Basically, he goes through this, and there's a whole bunch of interesting things, like he takes the Vex to a shopping mall, and he basically goes out there and asks strangers about, this whole clan thing.
Join my RuneScape clan.
And then someone says,
Imagine him going to school.
I work here.
Imagine him hanging out at an elementary school. He's like, join RuneScape clan. And the kids are like,
mister, what are you doing?
Join RuneScape clans.
I'm 7.
That never stopped me.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore.
And, you know, that is one good thing that clans can do in games is recruitment videos, whether they be an adapted version of something in the game or a video clip from elsewhere or something self-made like this. It really goes a long way to, spark interest and show that the people are committed to it. So give it a
good thing.
Give it a look.
Yeah, all right. I will.
So if your clan is making one of these videos, you guys can do this yourself. So you just need to make the video and send it to competitions@jagex.com. Or if you already have one, just send them the pre-existing link. And their favorite will win 10 bonds for the clan, with the two runners-up taking 5 bonds for their clan. And the closing date is August 21st. Nice. So 10 bonds could go a long way for providing membership to someone or... that sort of thing.
So you better make sure you have fewer than 11 members in your clan before you make this. So otherwise there's going to be some controversy.
Yeah, or maybe...
And maybe some swearing.
Or maybe you just do it like we do and, you know, use the bonds for funding contests and whatnot. But...
Or pretend you didn't win. Or and just hog them all for yourself.
But then that would be rather illegal. And I don't think people would ultimately
that would be mean. No, we don't do that much. But yeah, we don't do that.
Okay, now, display names.
Now.
They released some display names this week. You ever thought of changing your name?
I did once. I got bored of it, and then I changed it back. And so I'm Alex43 then and there.
And you're always going to be that.
I'm always going to be Alex43.
Okay. So basically what happened this week is Jagex released names A through C. Millions of names released. What they did is they put together a large text file, a CSV file, of the names that were released. So, of course, you could search these files, look for the names that you want. If you find it, well, on Tuesday, you could have tried to claim this name. But because so many people were trying to claim names in this area, the entire system bogged down. And a number of changes had to be made specifically so that there is now a limit on the amount of times you can search for a name to see if it's available or not.
They call it the anti-bot measures.
Yeah. And I'm
so apparently they've had issues of bots logging on and refreshing the server over and over again to make the servers crash, which I understand they do that.
Yeah, and... I mean, you got to wonder, are there any actual bots at play with this name system, or are we just dealing with a huge influx of players who are wanting to change their names? And, I mean, you design these name change systems so that they're used by a trickle of people at a time, and it probably was never designed to handle this many people all at once. So I want to say that it's completely understandable that the system fell apart. And nobody really should fault Jagex for this because it's just an oversight that happens and, you know, no one person is to blame. And this, you know, really wasn't expected.
That's what happens. Supply and demand. You don't know how many people are going to want it until it happens. And then you don't know what they're going to do. So one can only predict...
One can only predict.
Still, I think they handled it quite well.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a whole number of solutions that are going to be looked at going forward for this, such as silent or staggered releases. So they'll just basically say, okay, we're releasing a certain amount of names at a certain point, but they're not going to tell people. So that gets rid of the rush. They could also do a pre-published list. So a list of the names beforehand that are going to be released. It would reduce curiosity if you could search for that, so that might be one way of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Disabling checking to see if a name is available, that one definitely makes sense to do. And a head start where they give players with higher levels and longer standing accounts a higher chance of having a name. And they say this won't reduce server load that much, but it will address some player anxiety around name selling and hoarding.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, so... I mean, I completely understand as to what's going on here. And in my view, I think the best way of going about this would be to implement a simple queue system where you enter in the name that you want. So if I say I want the name Shane, I just enter that in, and that creates a reference at Jagex that I want this name. And then when that name is released, whenever it might be, if I was the first person to enter that in, or if I'm determined to be the first through the head start process, I am given a chance on my next login to change my name to that. And if I say no, then it goes to the next person in the queue.
Cool.
That is the way I would do it. And that way then you can do a silent release, and you know, you don't need to have a huge amount of fanfare as to releasing spreadsheets of millions of names. So
that's a lot of names to go through. So
yeah, and I mean, when you think about it, searching a database of people who play RuneScape, we know there are over 200 billion RS accounts, and if you index that properly to a point where you can limit the lookup time to a fraction of a second, okay, that's good. But if what if a million people, let's just say, probably not that many are doing it, but all these people will queue up, and that time will become cumulative per person, and the system will fall apart. So there does need to be a better way of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the thing you mentioned earlier, BTS Video 114, Plague's End.
Plague's End. Thing is, I never watch those behind-the-scenes videos because it keeps the content fresh and exciting because I have no idea what's about to come.
Yeah.
So alas, I cannot give very much information about this
one. They really didn't give that much information in this one. Basically, all we learned is that the quest is coming next week, and it really is the culmination of everything that we've been waiting for since 2002. And we got a preview of what the elves are going to look like in this. So,
oh, beautiful.
Obviously, we're waiting for the main reward of the Elven City, which is going to be released later on. But do you think we're going to be seeing any other rewards to it that are going to be groundbreaking?
Groundbreaking, probably. Like, maybe they'll throw us, like, a new weapon or something.
Like a starter crystal weapon, maybe?
The crystal pike.
Oh, could be.
Release a crystal pike, which we were trolled to getting on old school RuneScape at one point.
Really?
Like when they opened the Priftinus gates and for a celebration party, there was a troll move that one of the mods did where there was a rack that said, take crystal pike. And when you tried doing that, nothing would happen. And it said, you got trolled in the chat list. So that was hilarious.
Okay. Well,
but that would be a big reward. I mean, if you could get the crystal pike from the end of this quest, that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. One thing I'm kind of hoping for is the soul altar.
That would be a good reward.
Undocumented release as to after this quest. Because runecrafting came out with RS2. We don't have the ability to make soul runes yet. So I think having soul runes and the ability to make soul runes would make sense for two reasons. First things first, we saw the addition of death runes with Morning's End Part 2. So soul, elf, Saren in the city kind of makes sense that her soul is still there within the crystal. So soul rune, that's why I think soul runes will come from that, or the elf quest in general. And the second reason is that we are to see a release after the elven quest of an elven magic Saren-based spellbook, another ancient type spellbook.
And soul runes are some of the least used runes there are in there. So if they're going to make a new spellbook, they might make them soul rune-based.
My hypothesis,
so start stocking up, you guys,
is that we'll have soul runes on the spellbook, similar to the way astral runes power the lunar spellbook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my guess on that. And it would definitely
exciting. Better start stocking up.
It would definitely fit with it being a high level update. So that's one thing I'm hoping for next week with this. And as I said last week, this has to be the number one most anticipated RS update of all time.
To this date,
you know, forget about construction.
As opposed to the release of Zaros. The release of Zaros was pretty darn big too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we always knew Zaros was mythical, and we didn't know we would be getting as close to the gods as we did. So I personally wasn't planning to meet any gods on RS until this whole thing with Guthix happened last year. So, I mean, it was always in the back of the mind that we could meet a god. But number one most anticipated RS update of all time, I have to say.
You know, I agree. This is actually quite exciting.
I mean, this is one of the first quests that we probably all did on RS. The the Plague City one. So,
well, members anyway.
Yeah. So it we really got a lot riding on this, and I think it's going to be a really special time for RS and all of us veterans put together as to, you know, what we're going to be seeing with this.
Yep, I'm going to enjoy every moment of it.
Yeah, and
I'm going to savor it. I'm going to set my character to walk, not run, just to look at the scenery.
Yeah, we need to do that more often, I think, especially with these quests, because there's a tendency to try and move through them fast. And let's remember that there's no way to replay quests. You can only replay the cutscenes. So I'm going to tell
her... take your time, read what the characters say, and read every single option you can, because sometimes there are jokes in there, and they are very funny.
Yeah, and I mean, we've really been short on quests over the last couple of years as to the amount of good, meaty lore quests that have put into the game and quests in general. So this is definitely one for the history books.
They've been going for quality instead of quantity now.
Yeah, and
I appreciate.
I mean, yeah, like you said, we can appreciate that, but some people want more. Some people want us back to the thing where we were having two quests a month. I don't know what the happy medium is. I'll leave that up to you guys.
I think there should be like a sort of a quickie quest team where they basically just give a bunch of characters extra dialogue and have us do back and forth and stuff just sort of as filler.
Well, yeah.
And so that they bring out the characters a little bit more. I mean, that doesn't sound like it would be that hard to do, and it would actually help us build up to the future quests.
Yeah, and...
similar to how we had that mini quest with Karshai, right? I mean, all that was running around and getting stuff, and yeah, that sort of built the basis for the Return of Zaros quest.
Yeah, and I remember there was a Q&A pertaining to quest releases and whatnot, and I believe it was one of a kind, the Dragonkin quest.
That was an awesome
quest. Basically what they did with that quest is it was an experiment to see if they could produce a quest with minimal amount of resources, but was still a good quest, which they did. So we know it's possible.
And it was
just a matter of having the right storylines to do it with.
Yeah, and that's what made it. It was a story. That's all I needed.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is going to be a Grandmaster quest. Hopefully we're talking long.
As long as Walt Guthix sleeps?
I want to say it's going to need to be longer than that.
Oh, it better be.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. How long did Walt Guthix sleeps take? I seem to remember that taking about, what?
It took me about 2 days to do that quest. That was the longest quest I'd ever done, even longer than One Small Favor.
Well...
yes, you heard me.
To be fair, 2 days, what do you mean by 2 days? Like,
well, 2 days, whenever I could get the time, I did the quest, and I kept on doing the quest, and there were some hiccups along the point, and I think I died to the balance elemental a couple times. I had to go back and forth because I accidentally dropped or made some of the herbs into potions during that one puzzle in there, and so I had to go get those back.
I'm just trying to think. Maybe, what, 4 hours? 3 hours for the... while Guthix sleeps?
I savor my quests. Except for Mornings in Part 2, I had that one done in the day. The first day it came out. I was like the first person to ever get a dragon... a Death Talisman. Could have sold it for $500,000. But I didn't, because I'm stupid.
This year, we've had One of a Kind, Fate of the Gods, A Shadow Over Ashdale, and The Mighty Fall.
Yep. 4 quests.
Yeah, so far.
8 months. 4 quests, 8 months.
I don't know. I think that's an okay rate.
I suppose so. Again, quality over quantity, and hey, I'll take it so long as they have good stories.
All right. Well.
Shadow Over Ashdale, though, I don't know. It's a sort of a beginner quest, really, and could have expanded
you didn't like
on
that
a little
one?
Bit. But, yeah. I thought it was too quick. Like, it was too quick, it didn't have that much substance behind it.
Well, there was lots of substance behind it. You know what the whole idea behind A Shadow Over Ashdale was?
What?
The whole idea behind A Shadow Over Ashdale was to get people thinking of a new way of interacting with RuneScape. And, you know, similar to the way PC games and all games in general have been doing for quite some time, is A Shadow Over Ashdale was light on dialogue intentionally, but used... the environment and various environmental lighting cues, fog, that sort of thing to kind of point the way. Now, you might think, okay, this is a nice thing to do for quests, but where does this fit in the greater scheme of things? And I touched on this a couple months ago, is that not only did we see this in the quest, but we also see this same sort of thing in Ashdale, and this is an entire symbol of the new direction for RuneScape and the way RuneScape wants itself to be in the future.
Simple and straightforward?
Well, no, not necessarily. It's just relying on the player more, but using the environment as your cues rather than talking to people, and, you know, just a more independent sense, which is what we're going to be getting this coming week with the Elven Quest, actually. Mm-hmm. They said it's very much like an old one where you have very little help along the way.
I like that. I like those kind of quests.
Yeah, so it'll definitely want to see, but we'll, of course, spend lots and lots of time talking about this next week. So this is something I am eagerly anticipating.
When the quest actually comes out, we are stumped in the middle of it. We can't figure out how to do it.
Well, let's hope that's not the case. But anyways, let's move on from RuneScape stuff.
You know what I hope they do?
Move to questions.
One more note. You know what I hope they do? It's when the dig site quest first came out, there was a bug that you could not get a digging trowel from pickpocketing the workmen. And so what happened was the quest was literally not doable because you couldn't get that one single piece of important equipment. And so for, I think, 2 days or so, players could not complete that quest. And they kept on trying and trying and trying. I personally hope they sneak something into there to make the quest undoable just for like a day or two, and then they silently fix it.
Well, not intentionally. Let's hope it's not an intentional bug, shall we?
You can hope.
Okay. Well,
I'll let you hope. I'll let you hope that. I personally hope that something like that happens again because that was
hilarious. Moving on to questions now. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is from Flash. Dear host, do either of you have any idea of which islands the Runespanner on, or which islands on the Runespanner are the best to be on? I'm currently training runecrafting and would like to know which ones I should use for maximum XP rates.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that one all depends. I've been told that you actually want to harvest the lower level ones, but sort of mid-range lower level ones, like the fire ones. Basically anything with fire in it you want to harvest and you get really good rates. Try to avoid doing like law runes and stuff. So long as you stay on the middle level, there will usually be something there for you.
Let me just have a look and see what his runecrafting level is. That'll give us a better idea of where we can go.
Okay. Go.
Okay. Flash's runecrafting level is level 82.
Okay.
Okay.
My advice still stands. Go for anything with fire in it.
Now, you know,
you
can actually do things a little bit differently regarding that. With level 82 runecrafting, you can craft everything except for the soul S wraiths up there. It's much like real runecrafting. You can do what Alex said and go for the lower level ones to, you know, just build up some points and whatnot. But you can also find these ones on the top level. So the top level is probably where you should be at level 80 plus. And the way the RuneSpan works is that it works in very much a bullseye type system. At the center of the bullseye is an area that you can't get to because there's no islands there. But as the rings move out and get larger, the level requirement decreases. So you can go to the top level of the RuneSpan and hang out around the edges, and you will have those elemental runes to work with. But let's say that you want to go maybe do some blood runes or something like that, or death runes up there. There's Bloody Skulls and the Blood Pool. Those would be the two nodes that you want to harvest the most. The Blood Pools and the Bloody Skulls, and maybe the Skulls if you can find those. These ones will give you the best XP rate. Now, Of course you...
Actually, no.
Okay.
They will give you the best point rate.
Yes.
If you harvest the higher level runes, you get the best point rate. But experience rates, believe it or not, you are actually better off with the medium level ones. Like, again, cosmic runes or fire runes or stuff, because you succeed in those a lot more often. And you harvest them a lot faster than the higher level runes. And so, all in all, the experience rate is actually a little bit higher. So that's why I recommend the medium level, because it just keeps the medium level runes on there, and you don't have to worry too much about the other ones like blood laws and stuff.
Right. Okay. You're right. Yeah. I can.
I'm just offering my opinion. Yeah. It's just how I. That's how I train. I'm level 91, so this is how I train.
Okay. And I'll take your words at complete trust here, because I have level 91 as well. And recently I had actually been doing the Bloody Skulls and stuff myself, but I did not have Runespan at a lower level to train, so I don't know what the success rate is like for the Bloody Skulls in the 70s, for example. So I don't know what those were like back then.
Fair enough.
So, I mean, if natures and law runes and cosmics are the best way to go, then so be it. That actually makes sense. It's kind of like chopping a tree. You don't want to chop the best tree that you can chop.
Like magic trees, because they're horrible for experience, but they're good for money.
Yes. Okay. So there we go. Same thing.
It's similar. It's very similar to that idea. But yeah.
Yeah.
Like you're better. It's like for woodcutting, you're better off training with willows or whatever.
But if he's got level 82 runecrafting and death runes are at level 65, surely those should be able to have some success rate, I'd think, right? Like the skull piles.
You know what? Give it a try. Give it a try. Just try it maybe for like half an hour. Try each one for half an hour and see which one gets you better experience.
Because at level 82, the only real things you can't do are the soul rune ones. The combined blood and soul, which, I mean, you wouldn't even want to do when you're upwards of 91, because you just unlock the soul one, and that's really inefficient for that tier. But I would say...
But again, they are really good for points.
Yeah. So I'd say give the death ones a try then. So death, law, nature, that sort of thing. You can find these up at the top level around the edges, but if there's not enough for you, then I'd just say go down a level to the middle one. But I think the top level is your best bet.
Yeah. And if you want the best islands on the top level, there is an area sort of in the middle there where there's like three small interlinkable islands.
Yes, that's right. And that's kind of what I was...
You'll know it when you see it. You'll basically know it when you see it.
That's what I was referring to with the bullseye pertaining to that. So.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Flash. Yeah. You want to take this next one?
Sure thing. This one is a question from Brian. What interest of ions don't you share with your parents? And he emphasized don't. Political, sports teams, tell us. It just ends there. I think he passed out while typing it.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know, maybe he fell asleep. Maybe he was too busy or something. He had too much homework and he typed in the question and then he just fell right asleep. Good man, get your sleep.
You know, it's interesting for Brian to make a typo like that. I quite enjoy that. I'm going to have to take a screenshot of that and create my own Brian's typo topic there. But
oh, dear. I'm going to start building a collection now. Be careful, Brian. He's after you now.
Yeah, I'm already onto that. All right.
You like your typos. All right.
But
so what pion ions don't we share with our parents? Oh, boy. That's a tough one.
I really can't think of anything that I don't. Do you?
Like, well, he's saying like political sport team of pionions. If I can say a pionions with like what I think of them themselves, maybe. Because, I mean, my parents do have a few flaws, and... Every so often, I point them out a little bit subtly, but really, I can't complain about it, so... It's not that I don't share it, it's just I had no need to share it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm also not very well into political stuff or sports teams at all, so I don't share my pions with anybody. including my parents.
Yeah, and
other than that, I really can't think of anything.
I mean, around here, political discussions are kind of par for the course. I really don't take an interest in sports teams all that often. It's pretty much an open field with what I share and what interests I share and everything. It's not like I have a whole secret existence of interest that people around me don't know about.
Well, that's what you want them to think.
Well, I mean, pretty much everyone in RSBNB is free to know what my interests and opinions are if they want. Everyone around me is in real life, parents, family, friends, that sort of thing. Yeah. Trying to think of something.
They're just not allowed to know what you look like.
I haven't shared. Well, okay.
I'm just being
RSBNB
silly.
Aside from
I'm
that,
just being silly. I'm just being silly. How about foods? Like, whenever that, like, do your parents ever make bad meals and stuff, and you swallow it, you suck in your gut, you suppress your gag reflex, and you say it was excellent?
You know, there's really, after many years, there's really not an issue of that around here either, because you know, everyone adapts to what we eat, and you know, there's various things that people like and things people don't like, and it's on a good rotation. So,
yeah. And my parents are both awesome cooks, so I can't complain about that.
Oh, that's,
so
that's good. That's good. Yeah.
So yeah, sorry, there's no pie ions I don't share.
You know, I think the best thing to come out of this question was the term pie ions.
A pie on ion?
A pie and ions, yes.
Yep.
All right, well...
they are two ions mixed together.
Yeah, sorry for the dud there on that question, Brian, but nothing's just really jumping out at us.
It was fun, though. It was a very fun question. I thank you for sending it. Please send us more.
Yes, and anybody who wants to send audio questions can send them to questions@rsbnb.com or leave us a voicemail on Skype. Just go to the weekly question topic, and I actually did something I should have done many years ago and set up a link so that you can just press this one link, and then it will automatically create a Skype call if you have Skype installed on your computer.
Well, that'd be sweet.
Yeah. I discovered this week when I was looking at the Skype release notes that there is an ability to have a Skype colon username link on the web. And then when you click one of those, Skype opens up and calls that person.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Don't you have to enable permissions or something on it?
Well,
or does it get blocked up by AdBlock?
Well, the user will have a little prompt come up, say, external protocol, would you like Skype to be able to handle this kind of requests? And if you say launch application, it'll do it.
Oh, yeah. Similar to how it works with iTunes.
Yes. That's right. All right.
So, yeah.
Thank you for the questions.
Oh, yeah, and if you send in an audio question, please remember to check your spelling.
Yeah, or spelling before you talk in that case.
Gosh, you're supposed to let the joke slide, man. It makes people want to do it because it's funny. You ruined it.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Microsoft is killing off Internet Explorer support for older versions.
I heard killing an Internet Explorer. I'm happy.
So Microsoft is taking the unusual step of forcing Windows users onto the most recent version of Internet Explorer. So this means that when this happens, a long time from now, mind you, January 2016, so whatever version is the current most version for the platform that exists at that time, users will be required to update to that version. So this means potentially that Windows 7 and 8 users will need to be running IE 11 to receive updates for it, or IE 12 if that's what's released in January 2016. And of course, versions older, like 10, 9, and 8, no more support.
That's right. So if you have a Windows XP and below, and you can only upgrade up to that level of Internet Explorer, then by extension, you're either going to have to upgrade your computer or get a new one if Internet Explorer conks out.
Yeah, and I mean, this is really another reason why you might not want to use Internet Explorer at all, is just because of this limitation. And that, you know, Internet Explorer is just prone to security holes within the OS because it's such a tight integration there. But I have to say I'm very happy about this move, because so many times we're designing for two versions of Internet Explorer in the past, and that's just so painful to do. So I'm really happy about this. How about you?
True that. Especially in developing websites and web apps and stuff, accounting for the older versions of Internet Explorer is a nightmare in CSS. Absolute nightmare, because Internet Explorer has sort of their own CSS things, and that's actually limited. So there's several things that you want to do, like transitions and stuff, but that just did not work on Internet Explorer. So either you need a fallback or you have to abandon the idea altogether.
Yeah, are you guys still supporting IE6, or what's your minimum IE support that you guys do?
I think our minimum IE support's 8 now.
Okay, that's not too bad. It's not ideal, but it's not still bad.
Yeah, still, there's several fallbacks we have to go back to. But we take it as it comes, I guess.
Yeah, so painful, but nonetheless, that's the way it works sometimes.
Totally.
Next piece of tech news this week is that AOL still has 2.3 million dial-up subscribers, and they're actually profitable.
Wow. AOL still has subscribers.
Yeah, dial-up at that. You guys remember...
That's insane.
I don't know if... Well, I mean, here in Canada, we even used to get AOL CDs in the mail in the late 90s and early 2000s asking us to subscribe.
Oh,
so,
I remember that. I think one of them broke my computer one time.
But anyways, these AOL subscribers paying for 56K dial-up are paying an average of $20.86 per month.
What?
Yep.
That's actually considerably cheap.
Well, not...
I mean, if you only ever use the internet for emails or whatever, then it's actually just enough for you, and you don't have to worry about $89 plans or anything like that.
Yeah, and, I mean... But still, I mean, I'm shocked that all these people who are on dial-up like this can't find a cheaper version of DSL available. But it's just insane as to how much these subscribers are netting AOL currently. They released their second...
Or they just don't trust anybody else.
Well, yeah. Or I mean, you know, it kind of feels as though, hey... The internet works, so why should I change it, right?
Yeah, fair point.
But it's just an amazing number that I thought would share. And I mean, if anyone out there is listening to this on dial-up, which I assume you are not, because it would take a long, long time to download this show.
Mm-hmm. Unless they started downloading it overnight and then they just let it load, and then this morning now they're listening to it. Twitch case, good job, guys.
Yeah.
That shows some real devotion.
You know, RuneScape actually used to be playable on dial-up.
Yep, RuneScape Classic.
Even RuneScape 2. I mean, as long as you preloaded it and it worked, I once ran into a case where we had someone who was getting a better ping over dial-up than they were getting over their broadband connection.
Really?
Yep.
Does it have better writes?
Well,
like write speed or something?
I mean, the thing is that the RuneScape packets are just so small that the amount of data RuneScape transfers is in bytes per second, which dial-up is perfectly capable of handling. And as long as that internet can get to the main backbone and to Jagex, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So. And final piece of tech news this week is that Twitch implements a YouTube-like blocking system for copyrighted audio.
So it mutes the video, removes all audio, but lets you still watch the video?
Yes. Yes. So anybody...
Sweet biz.
Anybody who's streaming and, you know, uses background music from their own personal playlist might end up finding themselves muted. And it doesn't just remove the music in the background because, you know, nothing is that sophisticated. So it just mutes the entire video, which, you know, is kind of disappointing.
So learn to play the guitar, you guys.
What?
You want music in the background, you're gonna have to learn to play the guitar as you're streaming game stuff.
Oh, okay,
If
I
you want
see.
your music.
I see. All right.
It's like everybody learns to play guitar as they stream their games. So that would actually be pretty impressive. I think some people would want to watch that. Person plays guitar while playing RuneScape and fighting Jad or whatever.
You know, I mean, if it detects music, it blocks half an hour of the audio from this. And I mean, yeah, okay, people need to be able to, you know, pay for the licensing requirements of playing these songs and everything. But it just seems like there needs to be a better way of doing this than outright blocking the audio of someone's stream. Because let me just
What about
say,
muting it for 5 seconds at a time?
well, maybe, but you know, I think that would actually be more annoying than just having no audio at
Oh.
all.
Well, then the users themselves can mute it. There's a mute button.
Yeah, but who's gonna do that if it's copyrighted audio, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know. I just think there needs to be a better way of you know, allowing people to use these tracks on the Twitch stream, and maybe there needs to be, you know, some sort of premium Twitch stream service where you can pay a certain amount to Twitch per month, and then they handle licensing requirements for all sorts of music and effectively make you like a radio station for that regard. And it should also be worth noting that the live streams are not muted. It is only the recorded stream after the fact.
Oh, so you can do whatever you want in a live stream.
Right. And then if you decide, okay, we're going to make these broadcasts available after, then if they have that kind of audio, well, kind of out of luck.
All right.
And ultimately, when it comes down to it, the fact that many games out there need music to be able to, you know, just create the sense of flow and not make things too boring. I think that kind of speaks to video game streaming in general. I still personally do not see the point in video game streaming. It's just not something that I would watch. So once again, I'm putting this question out there to all Update listeners, is that if you listen to or watch Twitch streams, whether they be for RS or something else or whatever, just I want to know why you watch them and what you find interesting about them.
I could help to answer that if you want me
Oh,
to.
please.
It's sort of like getting a second opinion of playing games. Like when I play a game, I play it in my own certain unique way. But at the same time, I don't play it perfectly. I'm not a super crazy speedrunner who completes Mario 64 in less than 5 minutes. Being able to watch somebody else play not only gives you a sense of how other people play, as well as their commentary and opinions of the game, but it also provides you with perhaps stuff that you missed when you're playing the game for the first time. Like maybe he's got an entirely different way of doing something, or perhaps there's even a point in the game that you're stuck on, and by watching this person play through it, you kind of get an idea of, without revealing too much, on how to get past it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it for like a guide or a quest guide or a StarCraft II buildloader or something like that, but aside from that, I'm really not sure.
Well, it's also something else to watch while you're grinding in
Yeah,
a different game,
and you
perhaps.
know, that is really what it ultimately could come down to is something to watch, someone who is similar to you kind of sharing in the experience.
But ultimately, I think the real reason that people watch them is because the person who's playing the games is silly and incompetent, and they get to laugh at their unfortunate attempts at negotiating a game which is otherwise cakewalk to you.
Okay.
For some reason, I find personal crazy pleasure in that. It's watching idiots play a game that I know everything of.
All right.
It's funny. I don't know why it's funny.
Yeah.
It's like watching people slip and fall down on ice even though you know it's there and stuff. It's just people being silly. And you laugh at their misfortune and stuff happens.
Interesting. Anyways, we're
That's
kind of
my opinion,
we're
or
kind
part
of
of it.
straying off tech news now, but
Yeah, okay,
anything
I'll
else on
stop.
that?
Not really.
All right. Well, We're going to move right on now to other things, including the August skill of the month, which, as you guys probably know, is farming. Grand total of 7.2 million XP has been gained so far, which is commendable.
Wow.
3.5 million of that has been gained by Brian, the same fellow who sent us in the Opion
ions?
Yeah, the Opion ions.
Maybe that's what he's growing is the Opion ions. Yeah. The onions. He's growing onions.
Oh.
And so he got the idea for the word.
Yeah, never going to let him live that one down that he sent in a question with a major typo like that. But second place is Bletherskite with 1.3 million. And third place is Imperial with 995,000.
Oh, congratulations, you guys. You officially are better at farming stuff than I am.
Yeah, and I was saying, Brian, it's lucky that I did not enter, because I was really prepared to enter the skill of the month, but then decided to not to at the last minute. And I was ready to wage a war with whoever was going to be pulling this kind of XP.
Oh, geez, I was imagining you, Shane, you're just, all right, I'm ready for this. Maybe I'll wait till the last day. Okay, and then you just get 7 million experience all on your own in the last day.
Yeah, I have 7 million Vine Sweeper.
And leave everybody wondering what the heck.
I don't even know if you can have 7 million Vine Sweeper points saved up. But
oh, you can totally have that, I think. I hope, I pray.
All right. And achievement.
That just shows how crazy you are at playing Minesweeper.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Achievements of the week. We only got one this week, and that is Anders 5. Mm-hmm. I assume that's a 5, the V, with 99 divination on August 5th. Congratulations.
Nice. Well done, divination. You are now the most divine of the divine.
Yeah, definitely.
You have a million memories.
Gather all the memories, and maybe we can put Guthix back together one day.
Literally all the memories in the world.
Okay, so you have a pick of the week for us now, don't you?
I do have a pick of the week. At one point, I got a message on Facebook and offering me to subscribe to their website, and so I did. It's called themindunleashed.org. I'm sure most of you guys know it. Basically, what they do is you go online and they have a whole bunch of crazy articles about scientific breakthroughs and lists of stuff that you should be doing. And lists of stuff that you should not be doing. It's just basically a bunch of time-consuming lists and stuff. But at the same time, every so often, you can find a real gem in there, and there's actually some pretty neat articles in there.
So it's like,
for example, I'm just grabbing this. I'm grabbing this off the website. There's an article here. A person saved 669 children during the Holocaust, and he doesn't know that they're sitting next to him. And it's a video, basically. And so you watch this cool video of a guy who donate a whole bunch of stuff, and 669 children are in the same room as he is, and then they all celebrate for him, and you see his reaction.
So this is
quite heartwarming.
Kind of a more sane and thoughtful version of Dig, then, in that it gathers articles.
It's a lot
around.
More positive. I'm going to say it's a lot more positive. The stuff that they show is very positive, and it helps you get your faith back in humanity.
Right, but it's really okay. Nice. So all these things are posted on the Mind Unleashed, then? They're not articles linked to a third party?
Yep. Well, pretty much. Yes and no. I don't know how to say it. How else to say it? I don't know what they do.
Okay.
But yeah, very positive stuff, very mind-fulfilling. That's why they call it the Mind Unleashed, because it's really nice.
And they got really fresh content, too, August 9th, which is Saturday, so obviously European time zone, but numerous articles per day. So I guess if you want something to read that restores your faith in humanity, as Alex puts it, is a good thing to do then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, themindunleashed.org. Now I'm just going to remind everyone that we have an Action Bar contest going on right now, in which we want to see the best action bars that you can put together, whether they be for, you know, teaching someone how to work with combat, if they've just returned to RS, completing a Slayer task effectively, killing a Raxor, or maybe even just doing a farming run. So if you want to submit an action bar to this contest, you can just go to our forums. The link is in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. You have until the 15th, so 1 week left to submit, and we will definitely announce the winner on the show on the 15th, so keep that in mind. The winner will receive a bond, and we do have an impressive number of cash prizes going with this. So there is no reason not to enter. We encourage everyone to enter. Share your action bars, share your wisdom, share whatever you know how to do in RuneScape with this.
Or don't enter, and then I can win that bond. Yeah. Don't you want to stop me for how greedy and selfish I am? Enter.
Well, I don't think this is not limited to staff members, probably just limited away from owners. So if you wanted to, you could definitely enter this.
Yeah, that's okay. I've got enough bonds as it is.
Yeah. But please do enter, and we'll share the wisdom with the community of what's been sent in.
Sweet.
And also next weekend, we are holding an RSBNB birthday event, as it is around the time of the year where RSBNB celebrates its birthday. So what we are doing for this is we are doing a traditional RSBNB event. And by traditional, I mean it's something we've done before and something everybody just loved so much, so we thought we'd do it once more. And that is just
Team Fortress 2.
Well, we do that every Tuesday right now, so if you want to come to that, you can. Oh. PC Gaming.
So I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But with this, we're actually going to be doing Castle Wars on RS.
Oh.
And after that, we will have a drop party in typical RSBNB fashion. I know everybody always enjoys our drop parties, so please do come by. This will be held on the 17th, which is Sunday, at 1 p.m. RSBNB time, which is the Mountain Daylight time zone. That's 12 noon Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern.
Alrighty.
And of course...
And this is on regular RuneScape, not old school, right?
Correct.
Okay. Mentally noted.
Yes, regular RS.
That would be always embarrassing. I log on, I'm on old school RuneScape, I'm looking for you guys. I'm like, where is everybody? And then it's like,
we don't exactly do old school around here, so.
But, well, maybe you don't.
Well, yeah, but I think the vast majority of our community doesn't, based on a recent poll that appeared in our non-RS or our RS discussion, rather.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, if you do, I am Black Arms, so if you need help with the Heroes Quest, I'm available.
Wow. Okay. What have you been up to?
What have I been up to, aside from old school RuneScape and just basically logging in every so often on regular RuneScape and filling up my Jadinko Slayer mask? Not a whole lot, to be honest. I've been working, I've been training, practicing Mandarin, EDR. Other than that, basically just taking it one day at a time, mostly.
All right. Sounds good.
That's all I could say about it. I know it's boring, but that's basically what I've been doing nowadays.
Well,
being boring.
As for me this week, I had hoped to get you guys a video out on how to kill Araxor, but unfortunately that wasn't possible. This week has just been really bad, starting off last week, starting with a string of video card failures in various computers that I have. So it was just yesterday that I feel confident with the stability of my Windows system, which I use for high-stakes boss encounters like that to play RS on it. Yeah. So I will likely be attempting Araxor this weekend and seeing if I can put out a supplemental to that effect early next week, so fingers crossed on that. But aside from
totally hardware failure and totally not the fact that you died to him 600 times because it was funny.
Yeah, totally hardware failure.
Totally not because you died to him 600 times.
And
it was totally hardware failure.
And you can look at my adventures log to see that that is the case.
Yep.
And
which he totally did not write down in 15 minutes in one day.
And I'll also say that the economy, the Herblore economy in general, has been showing some very, very positive signs with this whole Araxor update and that people actually want Sarah Dome and Bruce now. So I'm happy about that.
Awesome. Well, with Legacy, aren't Sarah Dome and Bruce awesome again?
I mean, if you need defense and you want to pot up your defense and heal, then sure. But Rocktail still takes the cake for the amount of food that you can have.
I guess so.
Yeah. But yeah, aside from that, really not really that much. So hopefully everything will be back to normal next week. And of course, we got the elf quest to do, so we'll try not get too swept away with Araxor and transition nicely enough to the elven quest. So we look forward to that. And I am predicting a very, very long show next week. So that's why we made sure this one's nice and short for you guys this week.
Yep. Sorry, guys. I tried.
No, that's okay. You did fine.
Yeah, I tried to make it longer.
Oh. Okay. Well, maybe you succeeded then. We'll leave that up to the audience to suggest. But that's it for us this week. Thank you for listening to RSBNB Update, everyone. And we will see you next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Cheers, Cannoneers.